Okay, welcome to the world of Yevamos. I hope you enjoyed the Mishnah yesterday and the list of the Erevos and the Tzaros and the Tzaros Sarosehen. And today we start the Gemara, Baruch Hashem, start our journey through another Masechta, and every Masechta has its own feel, its own identity. Yevamos itself has a number of identities. The beginning of Yevamos, first couple of Prakim, talk all about the Yibum and Chalitza, but as we move on throughout the Masechta, really there are various different topics. It's a very Yesodistic Masechta discussed here. Perek Ha'arel has a lot of Shasugyas in terms of Arlus. Later on, the 12th Perek is where Chalitza comes in. The 13th Perek is all about Miyun. The later Perek, the whole second half of the Masechta, much of it from Daf Peites, which is the second half of Yevamos, talks a lot about Eidus Isha, which is about if a husband dies, what's the status of the woman? When can she get remarried? When can she not get remarried? Various halachas related to that. That's the second half. But again, there's much to talk about all around. So as soon as we start today, the Gemara of Masechta Yevamos. Again, those of you who are listening to the Shiur, who are here, are invited to the Siyum. Most of you probably listening out there is probably hear this after the Siyum. But I think it'll probably be online at kolyomrishon.org. Okay, now let us start the Gemara. Gemara, Bezim Abes. Michdi, Kulu Me'achos Isha Yofinon, Lisni Achos Isha Bereisha. The whole list of 15 Erevos yesterday, as we will learn later today, are learned out from Achos Isha. Achos Isha, that Isser in the Torah is Mefurish, and that is where the Makar is that we learn all the other relationships from. So the question the Gemara asks is, why isn't Achos Isha first on the list? If you look back at the list, there were four categories of Erevos. First, you have the daughter category. Bito, bas, bito, bas, beno. Then you have the daughter of the husband category, daughter of the wife category, and then the in-laws category. And achos is one of the later categories. So you ask the Gemara, if achos isha, the wife's sister, is the source of this holy sir, as we'll see later on today in Daf Gimel Amud Beis. So why isn't that the first one on the list? The Tosfos Yeshanim on the bottom here, on the bottom right here, discusses that it says in Sanhedrin that any time it says a minyan, maybe you shouldn't be able to be medayik in the exact order. The Kasha Hadamrin and Perak Dalan Misos Kol Makom Sheshanu Chachamim Derech Minyan A Muktim Meuchar. What exactly is the Gemara's question? Don't we have a klal in Masechta Sanhedrin that any time there is a number listed, these 14, these 12? So then the Mishnah doesn't mean to be medactic in the order. So what is the Gemara doing here? That just because there is an order, so what the Gemara says on Edrin, you don't have to be medactic. So his answer is that only applies when there's no good reason to put one of them first. But here there's a good reason to put one of them first. Achos Isha is the source of it all. So if that's the source of it all, says the Tosfos Yeshanim, that's the one that should be first. That's five lines for the bottom. Because Makom Kiva Demin Hadin Havilel Masdison LaAchos Isha Bereishit Tzorach Lasisam LaMalohikdima. Right, so generally, if you have a question of why is this, you can only ask the question why if you have something better to say. Why the Rambam put this halacha here? Why the Shulchan Aruch put it here? You can only ask that question if they should have put it somewhere else. So said the Tosfos Yeshanim, that's the question here. Achos Isha, there's a good reason for it to be first. So why didn't the Gemara put it first? V'chi tema tana chumrei nakat. And if you want to say that the reason the betos are first is because it went in order of stringency, it put the most chomer ones first. For Reb Shimon he to Amar Sreifa Chamura, and there's a machlokas in Masechta Sanhedrin. What is the most chamur of the Dalan Misos? Right, we usually assume, and that's what we hold halacha lemaisa, skila, stoning is the most chamur, but really there's a machlokas tanoim. Reb Shimon holds that Sreifa, putting hot lead down one's throat, that is the most chamur of the Dalan Misos. So if you want to say that maybe our Mishnah went in order of level of stringency, and Reb Shimon holds Sreifa is most chamur, and that's what Bito gets, and that's why it's first. But then, ihachi, lisni chamoso bereisha. So then, chamoso should be added on. Mother-in-law should be first, de'ikir sefer b'chamoso ksiva. If it's going in order of stringency, so then, chamoso should be even before bito, because they both get srefa, but chamoso is the source of all the srefas. If you look at Masechta Sanhedrin, that also should be first. Again, the same assumption, and that is, somebody that's mefurish bikra, the source of it all, should come first. The ode, and also, basar chamoso, and after chamoso, listi kaloso, the basar srefa skila chamura. And even according to Reb Shimon, who switches the order of the stringency of the Dalan Misos, everybody agrees that srefa and skila are the two most chamur, the two most stringent. The machlokas is which is worst, which skila or srefa. So even if you want to say, if you want to say it's an order of stringency, then Srefa should be first, because that's by chamoso, and then kaloso, which is the second to last one in the Mishnah, that should be second, because that's skila. So the Gemara says, so we don't know why the Mishnah has the order. So Ella says the Gemara second to last line, Bito, Kiva da'asi midrasha chaviv alei. You know why Bito is first on the Lord, on the list? Because dafka, because it's not mefurish. Dafka, because it's learned out from midrasha, Chazal wanted to put that first because chaviv alei. It is precious to them. What exactly does that mean? Chaviv alei, it's precious. Hold asi midrasha. Look on Rashi and Dach Lamed Beis and Aleph, where this Gemara comes up is when Rashi says, hold asi midrasha. Rashi there says on the third wide line on Lamed Beis and Aleph, mishum dechidish hu, because it's a chidish. Three words in Rashi. We like dvarim shel chidish. The Shear Mishnah and Balacha. There is one on Yevamos as well. He writes here, nira mishum de adam ohev chadashot. People like news. We always like to hear new things. In the old, doesn't excite us as well. People like to hear new things. Right? We had back in Maseches Chagiga, there were two Amorot, the Tanam walking down the street. They made another one, and he says, Ma Chiddush Hayom Bebeis HaMedrash. What's Ma Chiddush? You know, tell me something new. And also, even in natural, he says, he quotes the Gemara in Erevin Daf Mem, that we know that we make a Shechianu on new items. Why? Because there's a special simcha when it comes to something new. So everything new excites us. That's Hold Asher Midrasha Chavivalei. So Rashi there on Daf Lamed Beis HaMedrash says, it's because it is new. Interesting, this made me think of, there's a teshuva of the Trumas Hadeshen. It talks about this affecting halacha. The Trumas Hadeshen writes in Simin Samach Aleph, She'ela. It's a question amongst the scholars whether the Trumas Hadeshen wrote his own shailas or he got them asked to him. It doesn't really matter for our purposes. She'ela, Ma she'no'agim rov b'nei adam, af ha'medaktikim b'ma'aseihem. What many people do, even those who are medaktik in their actions, lehis asif biyom haShabbos laachri yatsias beis haKnesses, to gather after shul, ulisaper shmuos me inyane melachim visarim, to talk about kings and princes, what we would call politics, current events, the erech milchamos, who's fighting who, v'ki agavna imish chash iser b'davar emlav. That is that a problematic on Shabbos afternoon? Ask the Trumas Hadeshen. So he starts off by saying, "Sorach ledaktik medavar." Yeah. It's not appropriate for Shabbos. Also, laharbas mesicha b'teila b'Shabbos. He quotes a number of Gemaras, and then he quotes Amnam. But im osam bnei adam misangim b'kach. What if somebody enjoys it? He loves it. He gets such onik Shabbos. Not lashon hara. Chas v'shalom. I'm not talking about lashon hara here. We're talking about, you know, which king of France is fighting. You know that. So he says if they get hana from it, umisaprim shmuos miyamalachim v'sarim umalachim osemu ki agavna, and they love chadashot, right, our issue, then kederach harbim and adam shavzav alkach nir avadi d'shari. Says that they're not talking about dvar masurim, just like you're allowed to sleep a little extra on Shabbos, you're allowed to eat a little extra, right, onik Shabbos, so do here, as long as you're not violating any surim in the conversation, that's also okay. The last paragraph, he says, Amnam ra'isi harbei pa'amim, I see many times, shek miksas me'osa b'nei adam ha'misasvim, that some of the people that gather in these groups, eina mis'agim b'ribi shmos, they don't enjoy it. Why are they there? El she'osef kein l'rasam chavrehem. It's peer pressure. Everybody's going to talk about the news. I'm going to join. I'm going to go home. They're going to think I'm not part of it. So he says, for those people, it's awesome. Those people who don't enjoy it. He says, but for the people who love the Chadash out, so then he says that there is a heter of Onik Shabbos as long as it is parav talk. That's related to this. Sherem Sernei Balacha. Explaining the Rashi. Hold, Asim Yidrasha, Chiddushu, Rashi says. Because it's something new, that's why it is chaviv. Just one other thought on this line, and then we'll continue. That is the Yad Malachi, quoted by some of the Achronim here. The Yad Malachi quotes, why does it say chaviva? I'm sorry, why does it say, since it comes out, midrasha chavivale. It doesn't say chashuvale, it's chashuv. That would have been a more expected term. What's chavivale, that you, they love it? So the Yad Malachi quotes, mishum dedavar sha'adam motzi behekish, sichlo v'chakiraso. Something that somebody comes up with themselves. Even if something's new, there's a different level of feeling to it when you come up with it yourself. If I came up with the idea, it's chaviv to me. It's beloved to me. It's my idea. That's why it uses chaviv and not just chashiv, because chaviv means it's beloved to me. We discussed this related to the last Rashi in Allah Torah, where Rashi quotes, right, every phrase in the last pasuk of the Torah is a reference to an amazing feat that Moshe Rabbeinu did in his lifetime. And what's the last one? He broke the luchos. That's how Rashi ends the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu's greatest feat was breaking the luchos. You would think that, you know, taking him out of Mitzrayim and getting the luchos. Dafka breaking the luchos? So they say b'shem Rav Gifter. No, that's the point related to what we just said. The Luchos were Moshe Rabbeinu's life work. He worked his whole life to get it. He sweated and he didn't want to go in the first, but finally he went. This was his. You would have thought that something somebody themselves come up with. They work for it. I'll do anything to defend it. I'm going to throw it down and break it. I'm going to get rid of it just like that. Who knows if there's going to be another Luchos? That was the galus of Moshe Rabbeinu because of MS, because he saw that Klai Yisrael were not ready for this type of luchos. He took his life's handiwork and he threw it and he broke it. Because hold the Asim Yishosha Chavivola, he overcame that feeling of he should have kept it and threw it on the ground. So that's 2 points on this line. Number one, the fact that it's Chiddush, that people love Chiddush, based on Rashi Lamed Beis, and the second point of the Yad Malachi. I think that takes, yeah. Sorry? Bito is such a chid.
Because Rashi says that it's not his daughter from his wife.
Well, we'll get to that Rashi in a second, but it's Mianus also, because Bito, other Bito would be Mefurish. Okay, I think that takes us through any agadic touching for today's daf, and now we move back to always a little bit. Okay, Vaiter. So what did the Gemara just say? Because Bito is learned out Midrasha, that's why Dafka Bito is first, and not Achoso, which is Mefurish. Says the Gemara on top, Kulhunami Midrasha Asu. What do you mean? Only Bito comes from Midrasha? All of the Isurim in the Mishnah, besides Achoso, I learned Midrasha. So why Bito? Why Dafka? Is it first? So Gemara answers, Nihi Dilainyan Yibum Asin Midrasha. You're right. Regarding the halacha of the Mishnah. The halacha of the Mishnah that what? That you have an erva, if you one of your zukukakim, one of the women who is connected to you now because of Yibum, is an erva, so that paters the other arayos. You're right, that halacha is not mefurish by any of them, except by one. But ikar isurayu behed yiksiv behu. But the ikar iser, that these women are considered arayos to you, that's mefurish in the Torah. By all of them. Bito ikar isura midrasha. But the Bito Isser, that Isser itself is not Mefurish Bikra. All the other ones, at least their Isser is Mefurish, and the Drasha that we learn is to extend that they pater their Tsaris. But the Iker Isser Bito is not Mefurish. What does Bito in the Mishnah mean? So Rashi already said this yesterday, but he says it again here today. Bito doesn't here just mean daughter, because that would be Mefurish. That's learned that from other Psukim. Rashi explains, Bito here means Bito Me'anusaso. Bito Me'anusaso, meaning the Rachmana Litzlan. A man is ma'anes a woman. It's ma'anes a woman against her will, and then they have a daughter. So that's called bito me'anusaso, a daughter from the anusa of a man. That's also called bito, and that iser is not even mefurish in the Torah. Bito me'anusaso. How do I know that it's aser for me to marry my bito me'anusaso? There's no halachic relationship l'chora. There's no kiddushin. There's no ishus. So how do I know? So that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. So learned out midrasha, din daraisa, but that's not mefurish. The whole iser is drasha. So that's why it's put first. Diyama Rava, as Rava says, Amar li Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi, Asya heina heina, Asya zima zima. Rashi explains all the gzeira shavas that are learned here, two-step gzeira shava, that we learn out. Bito mianusaso is also aser. Why is Bito, it says in the Torah, bas ishto. So how do we know for sure that Bito Me'anusaso, the daughter of the woman who I was Ma'anes, that's not included in Bas Ishto? So Rashi says, in the first few skinny lines here, because Ishto is mashma, a level of Ishus, a level of halachic marriage. And therefore, Rashi says, Lashon Ishus da'alide kiddushin mashma, you need at least kiddushin. So that's why it is excluded. There is a big discussion in the Achronim. The Isurim that we are talking about here, let's say Isha Ubita, a man is not allowed to have a relationship with a woman and the daughter. Does that Isur apply starting from Kiddushin or only after three levels? Either from Kiddushin, that's what it sounds like from Rashi a little bit. Erbas Isha, Veloshin Ishas, Da'al Yide Kiddushin Mashma. Right when a man is Mekadesh a woman, the daughter is now Ne'asar. Is that what it is? The man never got married fully. Kiddush is only step one. Or do we say, Tosva seems to say, even after chuppah. You need chuppah, but you don't even need bia. Nichmas ala chuppah velo nivala. Right, even that. Or other Rishonim say, no, you need a maisa bia. The Tosva's Rishonim here discusses it. So that is a discussion in the Rishonim. But if you want to look for a source that puts it all together, the Pischei Tshuva in Eben Ezer, Tesvav Hei. So he quotes, it seems to be a machlokas Rishonim. The Rambam clearly says only Kiddushin is needed. Maybe how you can be medayikid from this Rashi. Another Rishonim say no, the Isra only applies after at least chuppah, maybe even after a ma'isabiyah. Okay, so that is Rashi. Let's continue now. Once we say, now that we say that anything that is learned from Drasha Chavivalei, and that's why Bito was first, because the whole institution of Bito Mianusasa was learned out Midrasha. Listen to Achos Isha Labasov. So Achos Isha is the most mefurish out of all the Isurim, that not only the Isur of Achos Isha, of my wife's sister, is mefurish, but even that's the source for this halach in the Mishnah, that it paters the tsaris, it paters the co-wives. So that is also mefurish. That should be the last one, because all the other ones have a drasha aspect to them. So why isn't Achos Isha last? The Gemara answers, Aidi da Ayri b'Isra Achos, Achvasa, Tana Achos Ishto. Once you, as the Mishnah, as we said before, the Mishnah doesn't just have 15 separate cases. The Mishnah have categories. It has the daughter's category of the husband, the daughter's category of the wife, the sister categories. So once you're saying the sister categories, so you throw in this Achos Isha as well, even though it is most mefurish, but it's thrown in there too. Felicity lahi bubble of myself. Okay, so at least put the Achos category last, because that's the most that's the one that's mefurish. So at least put that one last, and that one is not last, right? There are others that are Eishes Achim Eimo, Eishes Achim Shlai Balamo. There are others that are afterwards, 13 through 15. Ella Tana Kurvi Naka. So you say no. This is the true answer. You see an Ella, so you know it's a totally different answer now. This is the real drasha. The reason for the order of the Mishnah. It's not based on chumras and kulas. It's not based on dvar mufurashim. It's based on closeness. It starts off with the most close, and then it goes and it gets farther. Tana bito bas bino de krove atzmo. First, it says the daughter category, which are relationships of himself, of the yavam, his daughter, his son's daughter, his daughter's daughter. The aydi tani shlosha doris lamata di day. Tana nami shlosha doris lamata di da. Once it says his three generations down, it says her three generations down. Once it says her three generations down, then it says her three generations up. Right? It says the mother-in-law and the mother-in-law's mother. So that's the order. His, hers, in both directions. And then, v'tana achos of achas imo de krove atzmo. Once you got through the direct blood relationships up and down, so now we spread out a little bit, but still talking about personal blood krovim. Talk about sisters. Achos of achas imo de krove atzmo. His sister and his mother's sister, which are personal krovim. V'aydi de'ayri be'isar achva tana achos ishto. And as we said before, once you have the category of sisters, so achos ishto is thrown in there too. Ubedinhu. So that's why the categories are there. Ubedinhu deliktim elakalasim akame eishes achim shalhaya bolamo. And the truth is, says the Mishnah, says the Gemara, that the last two cases in the Mishnah should be switched, the order. Because what were the last two cases? You don't have to turn the page. Actually, in the art scroll, I guess you have to. Right on the base of the base. The eishes, the category number 14, was eishes achim shalhaya bolamo. Remember what that case was? That was a case where the brothers never overlapped. The older brother, he died, and his wife was a kukaliyavam even before his younger brother was born. That's Eishes Achim Shlohaya Bolamo, and Kalaso was a daughter-in-law. So those two cases, as the Gemara, really should be switched, because the second-to-last case, Shlohaya Bolamo, the problem with that case is a time problem. It's not a relation problem. Vudinu deliktimila Kalaso, mikame Eishes Achim Shlohaya Bolamo. Kalaso really should be first, delomishim kervahu da asira, because the case 14, Shlohaya Balamo, is not really based on a relationship issue, it's a time issue. El Aidi da Ayri be Isar Achva Tana Ishis Achiv Shlohaya Balamo. But once we're talking about achos issues and marriage issues, so we threw this one also. Father Tani Kalaso. And then that's why we say, and then last is Kalaso. Okay, so that's the reason for the order of the Mishnah. So far so good. Next point. Now we're bothered by a lashon of the Mishnah. Umay aryeh datani potros, lisni osros. What's the language of the Mishnah? The Mishnah says that all of these women pater their co-wives. They pater their co-wives from chalitza and from yibum. That's the lashon of the Mishnah. So we're going to focus on both of those phrases. Pater usually means you don't have to. You're exempt. You don't have to. If somebody tells me I don't have to do something, that leaves open the possibility that I could do something if I wanted to. So says the Gemara, this is a very misleading statement, because this isn't a question. Once we say that the Tsaras Erva is not allowed to do Yibam, as Rashi emphasized yesterday a number of times, so then Memela, there is no mitzvah to do Yibam with this woman, so what kicks back in? Eishes Ach. My brother's right. We know, as we said yesterday, there's always a tremendous pressure and counter-pressure when it comes to the mitzvah of Yibam. There's this mitzvah of Yibam to marry my brother's wife. But there's also an Isser to marry my brother's wife. There's an Avera. If it's Shalobim, Akam Yibam. If my brother had kids, if any other issue, any other problem. So there's always an Isser that's being overridden when it comes to the mitzvah. Which, by the way, so tomorrow, I'm not going to be here tomorrow and the next day, but Menachem, the next two blad and Yivamas after today are the big sugis and shas of Asi Dochalos Asay. Nothing to really do with Yivamas, but that comes up right here, Daf Gimel and Daf Dalid, which will be done starting tomorrow. But says, so there's always counter pressure when it comes to Yibam, because it's like an Asi Dochalos Asay. So says the Gemara here. So once we say that the Tsaras Erva, the co-wife, doesn't do Yibam, then they're not allowed to do Yibam. So the lashon of potros in the Mishnah is very misleading. Potros sounds like, no, you don't have to. You're pater. What if I want? Women are pterus from mitzvah zeh zeh grama. They're allowed to do it if they want. They can even make a bracha according to Ashkenazic minog. So ask the Gemara. So my argument on potros, listen to osros. The Mishnah should rather use a lashon of osros. It asers them. It asers them to do yibam and chalitza. So the Gemara says, no. Itana osros. If it would have said osros, hava amina osu liyabem, aval michlitz chalitza. Kamash Malah. No, if it would have said Osros, I would have made a different mistake. I would have said, Osir to do Yibam. But maybe that means you still have to do Chalitza. Chalitza is done, sometimes you can't do Yibam, but you do Chalitza. So I would have thought that, Kamash Malah, that's why it has to say Potros. The Ritva here, you ever use the Ritva on Yivamas? The Ritva is humongous. He's not, but all the notes on it there. Two fat volumes of the Mosadar of Cook Yevamis. It also has some of Rabino Kreskis in the back, because there was an old Ritva. They thought, what's the Ritva? That's the new Ritva. The Ritva is very important on Mesechus Yevamis, as we'll get relating to the Ritva today a little bit, and also the Kovas Aretz. Rabbi Chanan on Mesechus Yevamis is also. Those are two Svarim that one cannot learn Yevamis without those two Svarim, among others that we'll get to. But says the Ritva here, I don't understand the question. What does it say? If it would have said Osros, I would have thought you have to do Chalitza. No, but what does the next two words of the Mishnah say? Mina Yibam u'mina Chalitza. So the Ritva just says, you have to understand this question as, if it would have just said Osros min hayibum, because the next two words would have told you beferish against this havamina. So you just have to add that in. Havamina also liyavu bechas chalitza. Kamash molan, that's why it has to say. Oh, just one other ha'ara. So in the Maharach Arzarua, one of the Rishonim, the son of the Arzarua, again, what's the problem here? The Gemara says, Potros would have been misleading, and you might have thought, you're potter, but you know what, if you want to, you can. You could have done yibum. That's a serious problem that we're worried about. So what does the Gemara say? No. Osros would have been a different problem. With Osros, I might have thought you still need Chalitza. Isn't that lesser of a problem? If somebody does Chalitza when they don't have to, then it's better than having done Yibum if they didn't have to. Right? So if I do Chalitza if I don't have to, okay, there's not such a downside. What do I do? A man doesn't live with his woman. Ve'isser, if he does Chalitza, okay, he does a process that he didn't have to do, a halachic ceremony. But if he does Yibum where he wasn't supposed to, that's a serious Isser. It's an Isser Kares. So what does the Gemara ask? Gemara says, why don't you say this lashon? Gemara says, because you might have thought you had to do chalitza, you know, incorrectly. But isn't that a better chash? So the Maharach Arzarua has a different interpretation of what this whole question is. That maybe you should have just said osros because of the language of the pasuk. The pasuk, as we're going to have the makar on Daf Gimel on the base, has a specific lashon of iser. Okay, but that's an important ha'ara that he has. Period. Velisni asura lachlotz. So now, says the Gemara, why doesn't it just say Asura Lachlotz? So forget Potros Minayibim. So you're worried that they're going to do Chalitza unknowingly? They're going to think that you need Chalitza? So why doesn't the Mishnah say the Lashon of Asura Lachlotz? You can't do Chalitza. So Gemara says back, what's that? Mike Ovid, what's the downside? Why would you ever say it's Asur to do Chalitza? So do Chalitza. So say Pater, what, people are going to do it? What's the problem? You can't use the lashon of iser. There's nothing wrong with doing chalitzas. Gemara says no. You bet there is. There is something wrong with doing chalitza. Alamalo, why not? Im ata omer choletzes b'siabemesh. You know what the problem is? If somebody's allowed to do chalitza, they might come to do yibam because they know the two always work together. Chalitza yibam. That's why it would be appropriate to say the lashon of asura lachlotz. So we're back to the question. Why doesn't the Mishnah say the Lashon of Asura Lachlotz? You didn't want to say the first one of Liyabim because you might end up doing Chalitza. Fine. So why doesn't it just say Asura Lachlotz? So the Gemara says as follows. Kivan de b'maka mitzvah hu da'asira sara v'shalo b'maka mitzvah sharya v'shem hachi tani potros. What does that mean? So Rashi explains. If it would have said Osros on these women, we would have thought that is a blanket isser in every single case that there is this erva with another wife. But, says Rashi, that's not true. Let's say one of these arayos, pick any of the arayos, Bito, Hs, any of these arayos marry somebody other than my brother. Other than my brother. The case of the Mishnah where they marry my brother. Let's say they marry somebody, somebody's daughter, somebody's, whatever, mother-in-law's mother, marries somebody else, and that other guy has another wife, and then the erva dies. So in that case, you're allowed to marry that other woman, that other co-wife, because there's no mitzvah of yibum there. So the whole thing, it's not, sometimes this erva's co-wife is not usher to you. It's only usher to you in the case of the Mishnah where she married your brother. And there's b'makam mitzvah. It's a problem. But shalom b'makam mitzvah is not a problem. Says the Gemara, that's why it doesn't say osros. Because if it would have said osros sarosehen, you might have thought that in every case where this erva to you has a co-wife, no matter who they're married to, that co-wife does not have a connection of yibam, does not have a zika. These are the most challenging two lines of the whole daf. So that's all that. But that's what Rashi explains. Let's read it inside again. Kiva de b'maka mitzvah hu da'asir etzara. The only time when this co-wife is usher is b'maka mitzvah. That means where they married your brother. V'shalo b'maka mitzvah sharia. But if they would have married a czar, a stranger, somebody else, there would be no iser. If Reuven's daughter marries Shimon, no, that's not Shimon's a brother. If Reuven's daughter marries Yosef, right? Assuming they're not brothers, marries Yosef, and Yosef has another wife also, and then Reuven's daughter dies. Yosef dies. So Reuven can marry that other wife, Yosef's other wife, no problem, right? It's a co-wife of the erva. No, a co-wife of the erva is only usher when they're married to the brother. So you would have mistakenly thought, says the Gemara, if it would have said osros, that it's a blanket isser in every case of a co-wife. Mishim hachi tani potros. That's what he says. Potros, which sounds like in this case there's an exemption, but it's not a total isser.
Even with the brother, and he died and he had a child, she's still...
Right, if they had a child, for sure. Yeah, if they had a child, for sure. Yeah. Outside of Yibam, that's what it means. Shalom b'makam mitzvah.
But the opening line says min ha'yibam.
Sorry?
But the opening line says min ha'yibam.
I'm saying, but that's how you, if it would have said a surah lachlot, that's the havaminah that we're talking about here. No, I'm saying that relates to that Ritva point. Right. Would that line have been in there too, by each of the possibilities the Gemara asks, would the other half have been in there? So lachor, maybe not. Maybe that line wouldn't have been in there in the havaminah. Period. Okay, so that was one issue, the issue of asur versus pater. Yeah.
So if the co-wife,
yeah,
got married to somebody else, and then
if the co-wife, in a case of the brother where they married the brother originally,
of the erva.
Okay, well, there's an erva. Gemara says here, if the erva and a co-wife marry your brother, then the co-wife is going to be usher. But if they married somebody else, then they won't be usher.
So if they married somebody else and that somebody else dies,
right,
then she becomes.
Then that the erva is still usher to you. That's still your daughter, but the other wife is mutter.
Becomes mutter.
Right, becomes mutter. Because now she's not married anymore. She was never married to your brother. Right, so there's no problem with this other co-wife. So the Gemara wants to leave, the Mishnah wants to leave that possibility open, and that's why it doesn't use the lashon of osros. Okay, so now the Gemara says, another problem with the second half of the Mishnah, Umay er yotani min achalitza min ayibum, listim min ayibum l'chudei. But if you would think, usually when we talk about this mitzvah, what do we say? Yibam and chalitza. We don't say chalitza and yibam. Why do we say yibam and chalitza? That's usually the way it goes. Yibam, you get married to the brother. Chalitza, you don't. So but the Mishnah has the opposite. What does the Mishnah say? Potros mina chalitza o mina yibam. So why is chalitza first? So Gemara says, Itana mina yibam havamina mechatz chalitza yibam lom yama kamash malan. Because if it would have only said... I'm sorry. The first question of the Gemara wasn't the order question. Why doesn't it just say Yibam? And then we're going to get to why not say Yibam first. Why doesn't it just say Yibam? So the Gemara says, no, Itana mina Yibam, if it would have just said, Pata mina Yibam, hab amina michlatz chalitza Yibam mei lo miyama. I would have thought, fine, no Yibam, but maybe you do chalitza. If it just says, don't do Yibam. Kamash malan. But the Mishnah goes out of its way to teach me the very important yeso that's going to come up 35 times in this Masechta. Kal ha'ole le Yibam. Ola la chalitza, the kol she'ena ola la yibam, ena ola la chalitza. Why does the Mishnah go out of its way to say mina yibam u mina chalitza? To tell me there's a connection between the two. Whenever there is a zika, a connection, a halachic reason to do yibam, then there's chalitza as too, on a daraisa level. Durabanan, we might have certain exceptions, which we'll talk about in a minute, but at least on a Daraisa level, generally, they go together. Whenever there's a possibility of Yibam, there's a possibility of Chalitza, and if there's no possibility of Yibam, there's no possibility of Chalitza. That's why the Mishnah goes out of its way to explain it. There are some, I mean, first, there are, this even comes up, let's say, on a Durabanan level. For example, after a brother dies, after a brother dies, Bizman Azeh, we don't do Yibam anymore. So we'll get to why that is in a minute. But let's say Chalitza. How long after a brother dies do you do Chalitza? How long after a brother dies do you do Chalitza? A week? A week? 2 weeks? The answer is 91 days. Why 91 days? Gotta wait 3 months. Gotta wait 3 months. There's an Isser called Havchana. We want to make sure, we know, first of all, we want to make sure she's not pregnant. In those days, it took 3 months, let's say, they didn't have pregnancy tests, right? But Lamaisa, we still wait 3 months. Takes 3 months to know. Or number two, you want to know who's, right, even general marriages. A woman's not allowed to get married, forget Yibum, at all, until after 3 months. You want to know who the father is. She's going to have a baby after 6 months of the new marriage. Is it 9 months to the first father or 6 months to the second father? But either way, by Yibum, that applies. There's a marriage. You want to make sure she's pregnant. What about Chalitza? Chalitza, what do you do right away? So the answer is no. If Yibam doesn't happen until after 3 months, then Chalitza doesn't happen until after 3 months. So again, that is a big discussion. Again, there are many examples of this in the Masechta, as we will get to. There is a fascinating machlokes on that base. I don't know if Menachem mentioned it yesterday. Machlokes between the Rashba and the Ramban. Where there's let's say a man tells his wife, Hamagarish Amanash lo tinasi laploni. A man divorces his wife, and he's allowed to make any condition that he wants. I make a condition, I divorce you on condition that you never marry so-and-so. Maybe the other guy, he's worried maybe that his wife is doing something with that other guy. I'll divorce you amanas that you don't marry so-and-so. That's what he does. And then his wife goes and marries so-and-so's brother. And then the husband dies, and now she's zakuk liibam to so-and-so. So the question is, she can't do yibam. She can't do Yibam because she already, if she does Yibam, so then Mamela, she was never divorced from the first guy. So, does she have to do Chalitza in that case? Do you say Kol She'en Ola Yibam? But this problem with this Yibam is a technical side problem. So, does that fall into the category of Kol She'en Ola Yibam, Eino Ola Chalitza? That is a machlokes between the Rashba and the Ramban on Daf Beis in Maseches Yibam. It's in yesterday's Daf. The Ramban says, no Chalitza. Look at our principle. Kol She'en Ola Yibam, Eino Ola Chalitza. Well, the Rashba says, what are you talking about? This is an external problem. It's not the mahus. There's no zika of yibam. It's an external problem. So what's the svar? What's the bir hadavar? The Rashba also knows this gemara. So it's very important. Rebbe Chanan in the Kovetz Aretz Simin Hey Oz Gimel. V'nira tahachdina tochosh ein oil yibam ein oil chalitza yeshno bazeshnei ofanim. He formulates it. There are two ways to understand this idea. If kol she'ein oil yibam ein oil chalitza, they always go together. Number one, the kol she'ein bazikas yibam. Ein bazikas chalitza? Is it a fundamental halacha with the zika? If the zika for one, zika means connection between the two. If the zika for one doesn't get off the ground, the zika for the other doesn't get off the ground? Or do you say, no, nothing to do with the zikas. Even if you have a zika for yibam, lamaisa, are you not doing yibam? If lamaisa, you're not doing yibam, then lamaisa, you don't have to do chalitza. The be'inan, shebashas chalitza, they really even keep shishbam zika. And that's what he quotes. Let's say a woman is pregnant. Woman is pregnant. They don't have a kid yet, but she's pregnant. So Gemara talks about, you're not going to do Yibam, but maybe there's a Zika there. Maybe there's a Zika there until the baby's, until the baby's born. But at the moment that the husband dies, that she doesn't have a child. So she's pregnant, so it's on the way. So there might be a case where you have a Zika, but you're not going to do Yibam, so you do Chalitza in that case. But this is something that comes up. Two ways to understand, Kol She'en Ola Yibam, Eino Ola Chalitza. Okay. So that is something that a principal will get back to a number of times. So that's why it not only says mina yibam in the Mishnah, but it also says mina chalitza. Yeah.
What if he doesn't want to do chalitza?
In a general case, you have to do one or the other. You have to do one of the mitzvah to do one or the other. You can't just putter from nothing. You can't just walk away. That relates to, actually now I appreciate the question more, relates to there's a major discussion, is chalitza a mitzvah or a matir? Let's say a woman, the Yavama says, you know what? Let's say a Yavama is 95 years old. Right? 95 years, she's never going to get married again. I don't have to do Chalitza. What do I do Chalitza for? What's Chalitza? So I can marry other people? She's 100 years old. So does she have to do Chalitza? That's a big machlokas. Machlokas aposkim. Does a woman do Chalitza even if she has no intention of getting married? Right? So that's relates to, is it a mitzvah? Is it a matir? Do you make a bracha on Chalitza? A lot of nafkaminas.
Or if the woman is not able to have children.
If a woman's not allowed to be able to have children, right? Also, we'll get to islands a little bit. Okay, let's continue. Fine, so you explain why it can't just say Yibum, it also has to say Chalitza. At least put Yibum first. At least put Yibum first in the Mishnah. So why is Chalitza first? So Gemara says, Abba Shaul hi, da'amar mitzvahs Chalitza, kodemas the mitzvahs Yibum. This is the sheet of Abba Shaul. What's the sheet of Abba Shaul? So you see on the side, Ayin l'kama l'amates m'beis. Abba Shaul is a Tana, so he holds that, look on l'amates m'beis, that if you do Yibum for ulterior motives, not because l'shei mitzvah, but because you think your sister-in-law is beautiful, you want to get your brother's estate, for whatever reasons you do it, if you do it for ulterior motives, it's not a mitzvah. And therefore you weren't allowed to do it in the first place, it's an Isra of Eish Zach. That's the sheet of Abba Shaul. That Kavana Liyabim is part of the mitzvah. The Achronim, the Rech HaShmuel and others explain this based on the mitzvah of Yibum. It's not just a Maisa, it's a Kinyan. And for Kinyan, you need proper Kavana according to Abba Shaul. And therefore he says on Lametesim Abayz, you can look at it. Hakonis is Yivimto Lushum Noi, Lushum Isus, Lushum Davar Acher, Ki'ilu Pogea Be'erva, V'Karvani Be'enai Liyosav Lad Mamzer. That's the sheet of Abba Shaul on Lametesim Abayz, and that's why Chalitza is always a preferred possibility, says Abba Shaul, because many times people don't do Yibam properly, so it's better to do Chalitza. Is this a Din D'Araisa or a Din D'Rabbana? That's a machlokas again between the Ramban and the Ritva. The Ritva seems to say this is a D'Rabbana, D'Araisa, Yibam works, period. Right, no matter what, but Mid D'Rabbana, we say not, but the Ramban seems to say that this is a Din D'Araisa. Yeah. Okay, but marriage, people get married Stamford, right, but what?
There's no Isser involved.
There's no downside. There's no Aishas Ach staring at you in the face. Here there's an Aishas Ach Isser that's being overcome, so if it's not being overcome, then there's not going to be a problem. Halakha
L'maisa, yeah? The whole purpose of Yibum, according to Abba Shaul. Yes. Regardless of what the guy's intention was, the purpose was to...
Right. According to, you might have thought that the mitzvah of Yibum is dafka for your brother, to be make him al shem achiv, to perpetuate his name. But you're right, according to Abba Shaul, this is not called, I guess you have to say, this is not called the perpetuation of his name if you're not doing it l'shem, l'shmo. Not doing it l'shmo.
If this is the case.
But that's why alluding to that, because it's common, I guess, that's why he puts chalitza first. By the way, halacha l'maisa, that's what we do. Halacha l'maisa, we don't do Yibum. Already from the days of the Mishnah, the Shulchan Aruch says we do chalitza b'zman hazeh. If you ever see a chalitza, it's a tragic, whenever chalitza takes place, it's somewhat tragic. It means a brother died, married without having children, but chalitzas take place. B'zman hazeh, right? Bati dinim have special chalitza sandals. You know, you can't just use any sandal. Go to the Beis Din, whenever chalitza takes place, you know, it's something that's witnessed by the Beis Din. And that's what we're choshesh for Abba Shaul today. Because we're choshesh that we don't do it. People are doing it for the wrong reasons. What is the nekudas machlokas, though, between Abba Shaul and the Chachamim? The Chachamim argue with Abba Shaul. No, whatever, you just do it. So there's a Rambam. The Rambam, the end of the first parak in the Pirush Mishnayos and Bechoros. Because that's where this is talked about, that Chalitza is always kodem. Yibus kodem l'chalitza, but now it's switched. So the Rambam there says, and it's explained by Rabbi Chanan, Hutru Techuya. How do you understand Yibum? As we mentioned, Yibum is a mitzvah, and it's doche, the los ase of Eishas Ach. So whenever you have the ase doche, los ase discussion, which Menachem will talk about the next couple days, do we say that the los ase does not exist anymore, what's called hutra? Or do we say, no, it exists, but you're allowed to push it aside? Dechuya, it's pushed aside. Pikuach nefesh on Shabbos. Hutra dechuya. Comes up many places. So the Rambam there alludes to it, but Rabbi Chanan expands on it. If you want to look it up, it's in the Kovetz Haaretz, Lamid Vav Dalid. He says, Beferish, that's the machlokas between Abba Shaul and the Chachamim. That, according to Abba Shaul, it is dechuya, and therefore if you're not doing it for the proper motives, then the Isser still exists, and therefore the Isser overrules. Masha'enkin, according to the Rabbana, no. Hutra, and therefore it is Memela, it's going to work anyway. Okay, there's another point in Rabbi Chanan, but I'll mention it at the end if I have time. Yeah.
But even without Abba Shaul, the purpose, the perpetuation of the house.
Right.
If the woman is 50 years old, and there's no chance of.
Right, so again, the perpetuation of the house. Let's say the woman will never have children again.
Right, then you have to do a chalitza.
Right, do you, no, the question is it purely for the child? What if there's a case that you know that they won't be able to be a child? That's the same thing with chalitza. So you're asking the flip question. Do you have to do chalitza if the woman knows she's never going to get married again? Do you have to do, are you allowed to do yibum if you know the woman's not going to be able to have any child again? So that those questions kind of go together. Are Yim and Chalitza really connected to the children, like it says in the Torah, or is there a separate, independent idea of the mitzvah? So that relates, we'll have to talk about it.
Now, as long as a person is married and lose a brother without a child, does he have to do chalitza with
his
second wife?
Bizman Azeh, yeah, you have to do chalitza. What do you mean with the second wife?
He's already married.
He's married, and his brother had a wife. You have to do chalitza, yeah. Midaraisa, a man can be married to two women. You have to do chalitza. That's the...
Takana of
Rabbeinu Gershom. But this is a... Rabbeinu Gershom can't knock out a didaraisa. Can't knock out a didaraisa. So that's why chalitza is done. Okay, let's continue. Minyana, next section of the Gemara. And again, there's more to say here, but first we'll continue. Minyana deresha lamute mai, minyana deseifa lamute mai. Why? So we're talking about every line of the Mishnah. We could count, says the Gemara. Why does it have to say the following 15 women? Okay, count, we could count. What is it? That's my, these, it's mashma like these 15 and no others. So what's the Gemara excluding? And also after the whole list, it says the hare elu. That's called minyana deseifa. It doesn't repeat the number 15, but it's another general principle, hare elu potros. So what is the first line excluding? What is the second line excluding? So, says the Gemara, lim ute derav uderav asi. It's excluding Rav, the din of Rav and Rav Asi. Rashi here explains, what's Rav? Rav is Tsaras Sota. What's Tsaras Sota? Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Shimon is married to two women. One of Shimon's wives is Mizana. One of Shimon's wives is Mizana, what's called a, so Eisha Zisha Zinsa, so she's called a Sota. I mean, Sota, there are halachas of Sota and Pashas Naso, but she is called a Sota, and then all of a sudden Shimon dies. So two women fall to Reuven. One of them was an Eisha Zisha Zinsa to her husband, and another wife. So Rav says that in that case, Rav, so look at Rashi, Tsara Sota Asura, that in that case, that's like our Mishnah. Just like the Eisha Zisha Zinsa, there's no Chiyuv of Yibam, so too the Tsara, the co-wife as well. The Mishnah leaves that out to tell me that that's not true. That really, we say that in that case, at least Chalitza is needed. At least Chalitza is needed. Number two, what's Rav Asi's din? Rav Asi is Tsaris Islandis, is Asura. What is Tsaris Islandis? Islandis is a woman who at a certain age is found out to have certain physical behavior, certain physical traits that show that she will never be able to have children. An islandess, from the word ayal, ayal is a male ram, so she has the dinim of a male, an islandess. So Rav Asi holds that if a tsareth islandess, if a man's married to an islandess and he has a co-wife, also that tsara is pater from doing yibam or chalitza. And again, the Mishnah is excluding that to say that no, those co-wives do have to do chalitza. That is Rashi, that the Mishnah is excluding those. That the Mishnah says only these women have the patur, but not the women are excluded. Lamuti deravu deravasi. Continues the Gemara, l'rav l'ravasi l'muti mai. What about Rav and Ravasi? According to them, what do they hold the Mishnah is excluding? Because Rav tanu polik, okay, but we'd rather not say that. The Rav argues on the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, isvir luhu dahadadi, if they hold of each other's shita, so therefore we can't say that they're each excluding each other, then you have to come up with two new cases. Chad l'muti tsaras b'ma'enes, v'chad l'muti tsaras machzor grushaso. There are two other cases as well of co-wives. Number one is m'ma'enes. What is m'ma'enes? We know there are two ways for a woman to get married. There's a da'araisa way and a da'rabanan way. Mi da'araisa, a woman could get married either by accepting kiddushin on her own behalf, or if she is a ketana, for her father accepting kiddushin on her behalf. Let's say, though, she is a ketana and her father died. So is there any way for this woman to get married? She can't accept it on her own behalf because she's a ketana, ein badas. So there was a takana da'rabanan that her mother and brothers could accept kiddushin on her behalf. Again, we can't really fathom this because who's getting married at the age of 10? But in the days of the Rishonim already, they talk about that to get a woman married at a very young age, even then, was tremendous nachas ruach to the parents, to the family, because they don't know how this woman's going to be supported. There's tsaras, there's pogroms, there's crusades, there's craziness going on. So Chazal instituted, and again, at those times, they got married, right? The Shach got married at 16. I mean, everybody got married. The earlier you go back in the generations, the earlier they got married. Whether there was a different nishtanu ativim maturity or not. But either way, that was the metzias. So Chazal instituted that there's a way that a woman could get married on a drabbanan level. And that is, even if her father died, her mother or brothers could accept kiddushin on her behalf when she is a ketana. But that is called kiddushei mi'un. Mi'un literally means to rebel, to renege. What does that mean? This woman, if she wants to get divorced, does not need a get. She could just walk out. That's called miyun. The whole 13th parak of Maseches Yevamos talks about miyun, or the halachas of miyun. So mima'enes, so tsaras mima'enes. That's miyun. So what are we talking about here? So the case is that a man is married to two women. One of them is kiddushay miyun, and one of them is normal, regular daraisa kiddushin. And the man dies. So now his two wives, one was a daraisa wife, one was a darabbanan wife, fall to his brother. And all of a sudden, the way Rashi explains it is that this little girl does miyun to the brother that she's about to do yivam to. She's Mima'enes, the brother, and you know, and she walks out. So what does the other wife need anything now? So Rashi says, no Yibum, yes Chalitza. That's the case that's being excluded from our Mishnah. Tsaras Mima'enes. Mima'enes doesn't need, but even the Tsara doesn't get off scot-free. It needs Chalitza. That is Rashi's interpretation of Tsaras Mima'enes. And the other case of Machzor Grushaso, and that is there's an Issa Daraisa Machzor Grushaso, which means man divorces his wife gets remarried to somebody else, and then gets divorced from that other person, he can no longer take back his original wife. If he divorces her and the next day wants to take her back, he's allowed to, as long as he's not a Kohen. Machzor Grushaso is okay if there's no marriage in between. But if there's a marriage in between, then that's an Isser. So let's say a man is Machzor Grushaso be-Isser, after she got married in between, and he has another wife, and then he dies. His brother has no connection, has no chiv to the Machzor Grushaso. What about to the Tsara, to the co-wife of the Machzor Grushaso? So again, Rashi says, that case, no Yibam, yes Chalitza. And those are the cases that are being excluded from our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, let's just finish the line, then I'll take the question. So what is the Mishnah excluding? So first we said it's excluding Rav and Ravasi's din. Saras Island and Saras Sota. But what about according to Rav and Ravasi? What are they excluding? So they're excluding these two cases, Tsaras Mema'enes, or Tsaras Machzor Grushaso, the lo svir lu da dadi, and if Rav and Ravasi don't hold of each other, then you don't need two exclusions. Chad lamuti de chavrei, one of the minyanim in the Mishnah is excluding the other one, Rav's Ravasi, Ravasi Rav. The chad lamute, itzaras mema'enes, o tsaras Machzor Grushaso. It's excluding one of the two. One more line, and then we'll finish the section. L'Rav or Ravasi listening who? According to Rav and Ravasi, the first two should be in the Mishnah, right? Saras Sota and Saras Islandis, the same halacha applied to those as applies to the Mishnah. According to them, there's no Yibam or Chalitza by the Tsara of an Islandis or the Tsara of a Sota. So the Gemara answers, Lafi She'ena B'Tsara Sara. No, you know why they're not in the Mishnah? Because there's no way to have the second step in these cases. Remember what the Mishnah said? Not only the first co-wife is Pater, but even if this woman now goes marry somebody else, a second step co-wife. There's no hechi timsi in these cases. Why? Because islandness or sota is an inherent problem in this woman forever. So it's never going to be a case that there's a specific problem to your brother, to you, and not to your brother. Here, it's an inherent problem in her. So the problem is going to continue forever. So because the second step cannot exist in these cases, that's why it's not in the Mishnah. Period. End of sugya. Yeah. So question. No. Yeah.
A woman who had a hysterectomy, is she considered an islandness for halacha?
A woman who had a hysterectomy, is she considered an islandess? You got to look in the poskim. I'm not sure in terms of which halachas. There are many different halachas that are regarding an islandess. She goes straight from katnus to gamblus. She doesn't have state of nara. So it's a halacha lemaisa. When at what stage does it take effect? That's also a machlokas. Whether it's 20, whether it's 30, older 30, 30 something. Yeah.
What is the case of mimanes and machzigutas or knock out the tzara?
Why does it knock out the tzara?
Right.
Well, according to the Dindurabana, that knocks out the tzara. Rashi explains.
No.
The Raisa, it knocks out the Tzara, and therefore you still need Chalitza. The Ramban and the Rashba here, we don't have time to say it, they say it knocks out even Chalitza. Totally Pater. But Rashi says it knocks out Chalitza. Okay, period. Minohani Mili. Okay, so now we just have a couple of psukim quoted the rest of the Yamin. Minohani Mili. What's the source for this whole thing we've been talking about in the Mishnah? This whole idea of, number one, that if you're an Erva, then there's no Chiv of Yibam, number one. Let's say if my daughter marries my brother, which is okay, right, niece, right? So then, number one, there's no Yibam to her. How do I know that? The whole mitzvah of Yibam is Eshazach, so maybe it's all Isurim. Number one. Number two, what about the Tsaris? Where does that halacha come from? That's what we have for the rest of the Amud. Minani Mili. The Tana Rabbanon, Isha Lacho Solot Sikach Litzrar. Lekalo Serbasa Lebechayeha. Pasuk we had in I think, in Achremos. Isha Lacho Sa. A woman and her sister, you can't take. Lo Tikach Litzrar Lekalos Erbasa Lebechayeha. Aleha matam alomar. What's that word aleha doing there? Take out the word aleha. The pasuk flows Fair, perfectly. What do we have that pasuk for? On her. Lefisha Nemar is therefore Xerah Shava. Lefisha Nemar Yavama Yavawa, because it says in Kiseitse, Yavama, the Yavam should be with her. Shomea Ani Afilu Ba'akan Bikol Arayos Amuris B'Torah Kaz Medaber. I might have thought that the mitzvah of Yibam is Doche all Arayos, not just Eishas Ach, any problem. So that's why we have Xerah Shava. Nemar Kan Aleha, Venemar Lahalan Aleha, in both psukim, by Yavam and by the first pasuk, by the Isser of Achos Isha, Malahalan, B'Baka Mitzvah, Kan B'Maka Mitzvah. Just like in the Yibam case, it's talking about Maka Mitzvah. So too, in the case of Achos Isha, it's Maka Mitzvah. V'yom Rechman Lo Sikach. And what does the pasuk say? Don't do it. Lo Sikach Litzor Lagalas Aleha B'Chayeha. That's the Makar. That's the one we referred to earlier in the Daf. Mufurish in the Torah that Achos Isha. If that relationship falls to you Liyabeim, that is Usser. The Ainli Elahi. So fine, that's only her. Sarasa Minayin. How do I know her co-wife also gets the Ptur, Tanur Abanan, Litzror. Litzror, that word Litzror, is connected to the word Sara, and that's why that's the Ptur. The Ainli Ela Tsarasa, Sarasa Minayin. So fine, that's Sarasa. What about the double one? Like we had yesterday in the Mishnah. If she goes to marry somebody else, the next co-wife is also Pater. Tamalomar, Litzror, below Latzur. Right, it says Tsror, the extra Reish, and not just Latzur. Period. There's a big discussion. Sorry?
Same thing as before.
Two
things don't have the same word?
Well, for the fact that the word is there, and didn't use a different word, and now that the word has an extra reish. There's a big discussion of the Achronim. I'm just going to mention the question, no answers, and the rest, Zil Gemar. The two of the Kadrim, Kiveyegir Esakasha here. And that all the Achronim discuss, because it opens the world of Lamdis. And that is, why do you need a separate pasuk for Tsara Sara? Once the woman is at Sara, and she's Asar, she turns into an Erva. So the next woman is just Sarasa. There's never a case of Lamdas of Tsara Sarasa. What do you mean? Once the first co-wife is Usser, she becomes an Erva. So then the next woman is just a Tsaras Erva. And then ad infinitum, it continues. That's where Rabbi Kiveyegir's Kasha, all the Achronim give their share. Is a Tsara really Mamish an Erva? Only regarding this is an Erva, not this is an Erva. So the big discussion in the Lamdas to answer that Kasha. Rabbi Kiveyegir doesn't answer the Kasha. He just answered right here. And again, a lot of the Achronim get into the action. Let's continue. V'ainli al Achos Isha, so I just prove that the Achos Isha and the Tsaras of the Achos Isha are all Usser, Sharaias Minayin. How do I know? By all the other Arayas, the other 14. Amart, because we say the following. Ma'achos, it's based on a Mamasinu. Ma'achos Isha miyuchad shehi erva. V'chayevan ozona kariz v'ashegu asachatas. Just like Achos Isha is an erva. And if you were with this Achos Isha, b'mezid kariz b'shogei chatas, v'asur liyabein, and she is also to do yibum. So avkol shehi erva, v'chayevan ozona kariz v'ashegu asachatas asur liyabein. So Mamasinu just means, it says a case in the Torah, you know, it's really a category, it's not a case, and therefore, just like Achos Isha is true, so to anything like it. The Ainli Elahein Sarasemi-Nayin, that's only by the Achos Isha and the other Arayas themselves. How do I know the Tsaras of the other Arayas? So we say the same thing, Amart. Ma Achos Isha miyuchada shihi erva, v'chayavan ozon akaris, v'alshigaz achatas, v'yasur liyabim, v'tsarasa asura, just add that line in, av kol shihi erva, so to all ervas, v'chayavan ozon akaris, v'alshigaz achatas, v'yasur liyabim, tsarasa asura, so to all cases will be included. Mikan Amru, that's why we say, summing up, Chachamim, Mekan Amru Chachamim, Chamesh Esri Nasim, Potros Sarosein, Vitoras Sarosein, Mina Chalitzo, Mina Yibam, Atzof HaOlam. Period. Finishing up the Raisa, Yachol Sha'ani Marbe Af Sheish Arayos Chamuros Me'elu, Sheyu Sarosein Asuros. I might think that there are six other Arayos that are mentioned on the Mishnah Daf Yud Gimel, which we'll get to Be'ez Hashem next week. Six Arayos, we don't have to get into what they are right now, but they are cases where there is an erva to you, and it's impossible for your brother to ever marry these women. All the cases of the Mishnah, the 15 cases, it's an erva to you, but not to your brother, right? Your daughter. So you can't marry your daughter, but your brother can marry your daughter. Or your mother-in-law. Right? But the cases that are going to come up by Daf Yud Gimel, they're cases which are ervas to your brother too. It's impossible for your brother to ever marry these people. So do you say in that case that the tsaris, the same halacha works? So Yachol, I might think that you include those six arayos that are more chamur, that their tsarisain are asuros. Gemara says, no, amart, ma'achos ishtom yucheda shihi erva. If achos ishtom yucheda, she's unique, that she's an erva. V'chayavan ozona kariz v'ashegos achatas. V'efshar li nasei la'achim. And it's possible, part of achos isha is that, She can marry your brother, but asur, right, because only it's your wife's sister. But nothing to do with your brother. The asur, right, two brothers can marry two sisters. That's possible. The asur liyabe, in bitsarasa asura, afkoshi erba, the chayavas of the kari, so she goes, achadas, the efshar linosi laachim, vasur liyabe, bitsarasa asura. Right, so that's why only if there's a possibility to marry the brother, do these halachas apply. Yatsu, shesha, rayas, chamurus, me'elu, excluding these six, in the next Mishnah, hold the efshar linasi laachim, since it's impossible to marry your brother, sarosean mutaros, she'ein sara elameach, because sara's only applying me'ach from somebody who can marry your brother, and if not, not. Period. Ending off, ashara shamanu. So, all of these makaros, we learn the iser, the warning of all these women, onesh minayin. How do you know the onesh? You always need two psukim, one for the warning and one for the punishment. Amar kra, kikol asher yas, and mikol atoevos, vigomer. So that proves, that shows the, that the, even an onesh and not just an ashara. There is a question on the Shitas HaRambam. If you look at the Rambam, in Hilchas Yibum, he quotes totally different makaros for these psukim. Yamshel Shlomo and Yavam says, I don't know where the Rambam get these psukim from. Our Gemara quotes, some achronim suggest amazingly, you have to work this out, whether sometimes the Rambam, if it doesn't make a nafgamina, lahalacha, sometimes the Rambam would quote psukim that aren't in the Gemara, but ones that are mistaver al aleif. Ones that make the most sense in terms of the drasha, make up his own drasha. Would he make up his own drasha based on a pasuk, even if it's not in the Gemara, if there's no nafgamina lahalacha? This might be one of the examples over here. Period. Okay, we'll stop before the word taima. Right here starts the sugya of Asei Docha Lo Sasei. Beth Hashem, I'm not going to be here tomorrow or Tuesday. I hope Wednesday, Beth Hashem, to be back. Not 100% sure, but we'll work at it. Beth Hashem, it's wonderful to start another Masechta. Again, it's another Seder. This is Amelos. This is Amelos right here. You know, to work through Masechta Yevamos. And Beth Hashem, we should do it. And Beth Hashem, be zocha to go through Yevamos and continue. Beth Hashem, if anybody's listening to this before the Siyam, which I don't think so, see you there. And if not, have a good day. Yeah. Today's shiur was the Zeicha Nishmas, Yisrael Ben Yaakov. So let me say the Zeicha Ben Yaakov.